So in 1 Corinthians 14, where we're going to be today, Paul specifically talks about two gifts. One is the gift of tongues, and one is the gift of prophecy. Now, I want to set a disclaimer that this this isn't about, I won't be going into is, does tongues exist today? What about prophecy? What does that look like? I'm not going to talk about that because I don't believe that's what the context talks about. The context is specifically talking about the idea of building up the church. What are we using our gifts for? And it settles in on tongues and prophecy because I believe that the church of Corinth, from what is written throughout 1 Corinthians, struggled with the idea of using gifts for building up the church, and more so they were using it for personal gain. And so he hits these two specifically because tongues, as he describes it, is used for building up yourself. So I want to ask you a question, though, just to get you thinking. Who is someone in your church or in your life that's a Christian that you see is someone who loves to build up the church? And how do they do that? I see it. There's a lot of people in my life and mentors in my life that I see build up the church regularly. Some of these people, they literally build up the church. They're going into the church building and fixing it and making sure it's comfortable and nice to come to. Others are more, they do they're very complimentary. They love to encourage each other. They love to build one another up. And then there's more of what I think is being said here concerning prayer. And I know a ton of prayer warriors that it's one of those things where if you bring a prayer request to them, you know they're going to pray. You, without a doubt, they're going to pray for you. You don't go home. They're not one of those people that's like, I'll pray for you, and then they never pray for you. They might even pray for you right there. That's the type of people they are. Well, Paul in 1 Corinthians 14 addresses this. He just gets done with the love passage, and he talks about how love is patient, love is kind, and then love never ends, and faith, hope, and love abide. But the greatest of these is love. And so he starts off with kind of like a end cap of what he just talked about, and he says, pursue love. Now, the way he just addressed love was everything about everybody else and not yourself. So he says, pursue love, and then he affirms them in their desire for the gifts. He goes, and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. So he dives into that because he wants to encourage them. But then he decides to, I'm going to tell you a little bit about them, and then I'm going to give you some application over the process. So let's look at the passage here. He says, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God, for no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up. Now, brothers, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching? If even lifeless instruments such as a flute or a harp or the harp do not give distinct notes, how will anyone know what is played? And if the bugle gives an indistinct sound, who will be ready for battle? So with yourselves, If with your tongue you utter speech that is not intelligible, how will anyone know what is said? For you will be speaking into the air. There are doubtless many different tongues or languages in the world, and none is without meaning. But if I do not know the meaning of the language, I will be a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker a foreigner to me. So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. So we're going to stop there for a second. What we see here is Paul is emphasizing one thing, building up the church. So my question to you is this: in all the gifts that I've talked about in the past podcasts, and of all of those like gifts that were mentioned earlier in 1 Corinthians that you can look up and other places as well, are you using those for self-gain, or are you using those for building up the church as they were meant to do? See, Paul is addressing an issue for the Corinthians that they're speaking in tongues in front of church, and they use it as a platform to boost themselves. They're also, he's even speaking in a spiritual sense. If you're praying in tongues, how is anyone else lifted up? How is anyone else encouraged by that? In fact, I recently, in my lifetime, I went to a church that believed in tongues. And that's cool. If they can back it up with doctrine, amen. With theology, amen. I will not get on to them about it. But the thing that bothered me, though, was at one point I had invited a friend to the church, and we're praying, and this church did open prayer. So if the pastor said pray with me, everybody prayed in the congregation, which I thought was kind of cool. So, but there was a person behind me that was loudly speaking in a foreign language, whatever it was, and it sounded like what they would consider to be tongues, and it freaked my friend out. It really did, and they never came back. And when I asked the person that was doing it to, because I knew who they were, I asked them to refrain from doing that. You know, they looked at me like I was the bad guy, and that it really frustrated me, because I this is the passage that I thought about. That was not building up the church at all. And it didn't do a thing for the church. It did it all for that person. So let's look at the rest of the passage really quick. Verse 13 says, therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray for the power to interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Isn't that interesting that Paul is so interested in building the church up rather than getting something for himself? And it's also interesting that in the world today, in such a consumeristic Western culture that we're in, how often we choose to go to church for ourselves. And we don't go to church intending to build one another up. On Sundays, I hear it all the time, and I've experienced it a ton, where someone will look at me and go, I think we're going to switch churches because I'm not getting anything out of church anymore here. And I just think to myself, in context, even in this passage alone, church isn't about you. And so when it comes to the gifts, like your gift is to glorify God and build up the church. And so ultimately, if you're not doing that, you're being selfish with your gift. And that's what Paul's trying to say. And he goes on to say, brothers, in verse 20, brothers, do not be children in your thinking, be infants in evil, but in your thinking, be mature. In the law, it is written, by people of strange tongues and by the lips of foreigners will I speak to this people, and even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Thus, tongues are a sign for not for believers, but for unbelievers, while prophecy is a sign for not for unbelievers, but for believers. If therefore the whole church comes together and all speak in tongues and outsiders or unbelievers enter, will they not say that you are out of your minds? But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or outsider enters, he is convicted by all, he is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so, falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. So, this is the biggest deal. What is your heart going into church? What is your heart concerning the church? What is your heart concerning the gifts in the church? Are you about yourself, or are you ready to build up? Because if we're about ourselves, and these gifts are about ourselves, the unbelievers come in and they look at you and go, this is insane. It's the whole idea that if I do these things without love, I'm like a clanging cymbal. So how are you doing with your gifts? Are you trusting in the Lord that you and using your gifts to build up the church? Or are you doing it solely for yourself? And I think that once we answer that question, we will start using our gifts properly, and you'll start seeing God glorified even more in your life.